I believe I can fly.
Amen. Good morning to you all. It's always a joy to be in the context of worship with you. I'll be ministering briefly from the thought, the friendship factor. But before we get into the meat of the message, let's just look at the scriptures. I want to begin with the Gospel of John, actually, this morning. Just to impress upon you a few verses out of John, but then look at Proverbs and Mark, and then we will go forth with a prayer. Listen carefully to the word of the Lord from John 15, verses 13 through 17. It says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. At this time, let us now look at Proverbs chapter 18. It's one verse there. It says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And last but not least, let's now look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. We have never seen anything like this. Once again, the friendship factor. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to minister a word. We can't do anything without the presence of your Holy Spirit. And so we invoke and invite you to be with us in a special way. Open our minds and our hearts that we might receive a word from you. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my rock and my radical redeemer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. And the church said, all right, I need your help this morning, so get your amens ready. Amen. All right. This morning we're looking at the friendship factor. I never will forget how it felt when we first came to Gainesville for a few weeks. Before even entering the church, we came looking for somewhere to stay and didn't have anyone here to connect with. Didn't know where to go to eat. Didn't know where to go to shop. Didn't have any kind of connection here. And so we felt kind of lonely and isolated and disconnected. And I never will forget that feeling. And that's why I kind of sighed and have a special place in my heart for those who are single, for the widows, for those who are having trials and tribulations as it relates to connecting, etc. And so I never will forget that sense of the first day we actually met the staff and got connected and relationships began to blossom and grow. And I believe it was Troy, he may not even remember this, but Troy didn't even know me and just gave me a truck so that we might move furniture back and forth. And Lorraine Price came and gave us a tour of Gainesville, and different staff people took us out to eat so that we might learn the area. And it was through that kind of contact and that kind of fellowship that it was then that our relationships began to blossom and grow. And so in the beginning, I just want to state what I'm really getting at here this morning, that friendship in the church cultivates Christian community. Friendship in the church fosters the family of God. It was not until we entered the church and began to learn names and eat together and work together and serve together. That's when the relationships began to flourish and blossom. It was Alan McGinnis who says, 1 in 50 people have what could be authentically called an intimate best friend. 1 in 50 people have what could authentically be called a best friend, which reveals that a good friend in the world is hard to find. Think about those statistics for just a minute. And just so you don't get it twisted, I have a definition of friend. I know a lot of us have different opinions on what a friend is today. Thanks to Facebook, we view friendship slightly different. But today I want to give you a simplified definition of what a friend is. A friend is a favored companion, an intimate associate, a close acquaintance. A friend is, I've heard it said this way, described this way, friendship is like blood that quickly runs to the wounds of the injured without even waiting to be called. Think about that. A friend is just right there for you. It's also been stated that a friend is one who multiplies joys and divides griefs and whose bond is unbreakable. Proverbs 27:6 says it this way, trusted are the blows that come from a friend. And I had to think about that one a minute. What do you mean trusted are the blows that come from a friend? That your friend loves you so much, they're not going to hurt you intentionally if that friend didn't have a purpose. Sometimes they'll tell you the truth about yourself, and at first it hurts, but they're giving you that blow ultimately because they're trying to help you grow. Aristotle said it this way, a friend is a single soul in two bodies. Think about that. A friend is a single soul in two bodies. Hermann Hesse said it this way, when the ways of friends converge, the whole world looks like home. And that's why I love it here, because every Sunday we say what? It's great to be home. Once again, the premise for this morning is friendship in the church cultivates Christian community, and friendships in the church fosters the family of God. I think Mark Zuckerberg learned this early on, and that's why Facebook has been so successful. Listen at this. Facebook is now used by 1 in 13 people on the planet. In other words, half of the planet is now on Facebook. Over 3 billion people are on Facebook. Over 250 million people log in daily to Facebook. The average user has about 130 Facebook friends. I told you friends were slightly different today. 72% of U.S. users are on Facebook, while 70% are located outside the U.S. Facebook, in essence, has made a global impact. 700 billion minutes a month are spent using Facebook. 20 million apps are installed, catch this, a day. 48% of today's youth get all of their emails. Where's the sunlight in my high schoolers and middle schoolers? 48% of today's youth get their daily news through Facebook. Think about that. 48% of today's youth. It's in other words, it's become a means of interaction and fellowship. It's become a tool of connection. But why? I think it's because it provides a platform for relationships to flourish. It's a breeding ground for sharing and being invited and being able to invite, being accepted and being able to accept others. Through Facebook, you can be seen and heard. And so I was wondering, what if the church through friendship could impact lives in this way? Think about that. If we could have 700 billion minutes a month regarding the church. If we can have 250 million people logging in or trying somehow to access the church because of the contagious nature of our friendship. We're talking about the friendship factor and how important it is in the church. Once again, it's through friendship. Friendship in the church fosters the family of God. Amen, church? there's a story that I heard, I came across, that I think is very relevant for today. And it's an old Grecian tale. Some of you have heard different versions of it. But the story was told of Damon and Pythias. One day, Damon and Pythias, who were best friends, they took a trip to Sicily. And there in Sicily, they learned quickly that there were a lot of unjust laws. And Pythias, out of frustration, began to vent against the laws. And one of the king's men heard Pythias ridiculing their laws. And so word got back to the king, and the king sent word to arrest Pythias. And now Pythias is arrested and waiting trial, and the king gives him the full extent of the law. He wants him executed for speaking against the order of that day. And Damon became sad and sorrowful, and Damon says, well, king, you can't execute him. We were just having a casual conversation. And the king says, no, I want him executed. So Pythias accepted his fate, and he says, well, at least let me go home and get my affairs in order. And the king says, no, because you may not return. And so Damon spoke up again and says, well, king, if you're concerned about him not returning, I will be more than happy to sit in prison for him. Even if he doesn't return on the day of execution, I will be executed for him. And so Pythias is able to go home, and Damon is now in prison, and the day of execution has come, and they're literally laying Damon's neck on the chopping block. And all of a sudden, Pythias runs around the corner. Wait a minute, I'm here. And the king pulls Damon up, and Pythias then lays his neck on the chopping block. And the king is so moved emotionally, he drops the charges. He tells Pythias to get up and to meet him in the back chambers. And it was in the back chambers that they began to talk. And the king says, all I ask for in return is for me to become a third party in your friendship. He was so moved and blown away by the impact of the friendship factor that he wanted to become a part. Once again, in essence, it's friendship in the church that fosters the family of God. Friendship in the church cultivates Christian community. I had a pleasant conversation in the back even before this service with one of the members who had joined. I won't put you on the spot. But she was just going on and on about this being one of the hallmarks of her life. Because finally she's joining a church where the fellowship is real and genuine. And she says she just sat in her car and she watched people shake hands and she watched people hug one another. And she felt and she feels at home. Friendship in the church cultivates the family of God. Friendship cultivates Christian community. And so if I can take you to the text now in the Gospel of Luke, it gives us a wonderful blueprint of how this friendship factor works and how it can work, how it worked then and how it even works now. Now, I've got to give you a heads up. I have used my homiletical sanctified imagination on this particular passage, and I hope that's okay with you this morning, because the Bible really doesn't give the characters names. And so I took it upon myself to name these characters. If you look at verse 3, it just says, four of them carried this man. Just four of them. It doesn't give us a name. It doesn't give us the background. It doesn't give us their socioeconomic status. It just says, four of them. And so I've taken it upon myself to label these four persons. Are you ready for this now? These four characters. I want to begin first by talking about kind-hearted Ken. Can you remember that? Kind-hearted Ken was walking down the street one day, and kind-hearted Ken heard this man crying out from the ground, help, help, I need help. And because kind-hearted Ken is so kind-hearted, he turned in kindness and he says, well, what can I do to help you? And the paralyzed man says, I heard Jesus is in town and I need someone to help me get to Jesus. Can you help me get to Jesus? And so kind-hearted Ken, because he's kind-hearted, he begins to squat down to lift this paralyzed man up. But the man is too heavy, and all of a sudden, concerned Carmen walks up. And concerned Carmen is just minding her own business, but she's just so concerned. Hey, what are you doing? And then kind-hearted Ken begins to talk to concerned Carmen, and now they're having a dialogue over this man. Well, kind-hearted Carmen says, well, what can I do to help? And kind-hearted Ken says, well, we're trying to get this man to see Jesus. He's paralyzed and he wants to get to Jesus. Jesus is in town. And so there is concerned Carmen and kind-hearted Ken, and they begin to lift this man. One gets to the head and to the tail, and they're lifting him now, carrying him to Jesus. Can you see this? They're carrying him to Jesus. And when they get to where Jesus is, there's a huge crowd. It's standing room only. Packed house, and there's a crowd on the outside. It's impossible to get through this monstrous crowd. And so they begin to get to the edge of the crowd. And what do you know? They bump into somebody whose name is Determined Dave. Determined Dave is getting set up to hear Jesus. He's trying to squeeze through the crowd. And next thing you know, he feels something bump him. And Determined Dave looks around. And he sees a man who's paralyzed. And kind-hearted Ken began to explain, Determined Dave, can you help us? We're trying to get this man to Jesus. And concerned Carmen began to chime in, he's paralyzed and we're trying to get him to Jesus. And so Determined Dave says, well, you wait right there. Determined Dave ran next door and knocked on the door and said, can I borrow your ladder? And so Determined Dave comes back with the ladder, and he gets the ladder and he starts pressing his way through the crowd because he's Determined Dave. He's pressing his way through the crowd. Can you see this? He's just pressing his way through the crowd because he's Determined Dave. And so Determined Dave presses his way through the crowd, and finally he's able to prop the ladder up, and he begins to climb the ladder. But then it dawns on him, we have a problem. How are we going to get concerned Carmen and kind-hearted Ken and this paralyzed man up the ladder? And so Determined Dave, because he's so determined, he comes down from the ladder. He goes grab a rope, and he comes back up the ladder, and then he looks and he realizes, I still can't get this man through the roof. And so Determined Dave looks out in the crowd, and he sees Loving Larry. And he says, hey, Loving Larry, I need some help. And so Loving Larry runs through the crowd, and Loving Larry climbs the ladder, and Loving Larry begins to create a human hoist. And they begin to pull this man to the roof and pull him up, pulling him. And finally, he's on the roof. And you think that is over. They still have a problem. They can't get this man through the roof. And so Determined Dave began to think, and concerned Carmen began to think, and kind-hearted Ken began to think. And then Loving Larry says, you know what? I haven't figured out. I'll just get down here, and I'll just tear the roof apart. And so Loving Larry is down there tearing the roof apart. And Determined Dave says, well, I can't let you work alone. I'm going to get down here too. And Determined Dave starts tearing the roof apart. Can you see that? Are y'all with me? Amen, church. All right. And so there they are tearing the roof. And then they open the roof. And Carmen comes up. Kind-hearted Ken comes up. Loving Larry comes up. And there's Determined Dave. And they begin to lower this man down in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus stops because he's looking at the amazement of their faith. He stops teaching and preaching. And all he can say is, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And I did the Greek research of paralysis in the Greek. It means it means that nerves have been disabled. But when he said your sins are forgiven and he forgave him and healed him, nerves became enabled. What am I saying to you? First of all, I'm saying you can be kind. You can be concerned. Kind-hearted Ken, concerned Carmen. What's the third one there? Loving Larry. Determined Dave, there it is. You can be kind, determined, and concerned, but if you ain't got love, the friendship factor fails. It was an old man years ago who told me, David, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. The friendship factor fails without love. And so there they are in the presence of Jesus. So what does that mean for the body of Christ this morning? It means that the work of the church involves leading people, lifting people, luring people, and when necessary, ripping off the roof and even lowering them in a place and in a space of where they can encounter the living Christ. That's the work of the ministry. And that's why the friendship factor is so critical and important in the church. Because we all play a role in the friendship factor. And your friendship factor impacts the world. Your friendship factor makes the difference between somebody being disabled and becoming enabled. Your friendship factor has that much weight and power that literally it can change the world. And the question is, how are we utilizing the friendship factor? How are we using the friendship factor when we're living in such a hurting world where friends are no longer genuine and available? Do you need a friend this morning? I'm here to tell you that God wants to be your true friend. Are you longing for companionship? God is always with you. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And who do you know who needs a true friend today? God wants you to befriend others. He calls us to be his hands and his feet in a world starving for friendship. Amen, church? I leave you in the words of Joseph M. Scriven, who penciled these words in 1855. What a friend we have in Jesus. Wish I had a Hammond organ to back me right now. All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Friends, in closing, never forget the friendship factor. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the gift of your word and how it ministers to us, how it's therapy for our hearts, how it's medicine for our souls. We pray, O Lord, that we will continue to be constituents of your heavenly hospitality and work on your on behalf of your kingdom. There may be someone here today who's lonely, someone here today who does not have a friend. God, I pray that you impress upon their hearts that Jesus is available. He's accessible and he's waiting for you just to come. Bless us now in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar is now open.